to God, those who serve at the tabernacle. These chapters talk about the function, the role of the priests, and this particular chapter, chapter 8, is, if you will, the ordination service of Aaron and his sons to the priesthood. But as you will see, it has relevance to our lives as well as God's people, as we also perform priestly roles. Jesus is our great high priest, but the church, corporate and individual believers also serve God in a variety of ways. So let's give our attention to the reading of Leviticus chapter 8. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bull of the sin offering, and the two rams, and the basket of unleavened bread, and assemble all the congregation at the entrance of the tent of meeting." And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the congregation was assembled at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Moses said to the congregation, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded to be done." And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put the coat on him and tied the sash around his waist and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod on him and tied the skillfully woven band of the ephod around him, binding it to him with the band. And he placed the breastpiece on him, and in the breastpiece he put the Urim and the Thummim, and he set the turban on his head, and on the turban in front he set the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it and consecrated them. This word consecrated is the word that means to set apart, to sanctify. Verse 11, and he sprinkled some of it on the altar seven times and anointed the altar and all its utensils and the basin and its stand to consecrate them. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. And Moses brought Aaron's sons and clothed them with coats and tied sashes around their waists and bound caps on them as the Lord commanded Moses. Then he brought the bull of the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bull of the sin offering, and he killed it. And Moses took the blood with his finger, put it on the horns of the altar around it, and purified the altar, and poured out the blood at the base of the altar, and consecrated it to make atonement for it. He took all the fat that was on the entrails, and the long lobe of the liver, and the two kidneys with their fat, and Moses burned them on the altar. And the bull, and its skin, and its flesh, and its dung, he burned up with fire outside the camp, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then he presented the ram of the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and he killed it, and Moses threw the blood against the sides of the altar. He cut the ram into pieces, and Moses burned the head and the pieces and the fat. He washed the entrails and the legs with water, and Moses burned the whole ram on the altar. It was a burnt offering with a pleasing aroma, a food offering for the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 22, then he presented the other ram, the ram of ordination. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and he killed it. And Moses took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. Then he presented Aaron's sons, and Moses put some of the blood on the lobes of their right ears and on the thumbs of their right hands and on the big toes of their right feet. And Moses threw the blood against the sides of the altar. Then he took the fat and the fat tail and all the fat that was on the entrails and on the long lobe of the liver and the two kidneys with their fat and the right thigh. And out of the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took one unleavened loaf and one loaf of bread with oil and one wafer and placed them on the pieces of fat and on the right thigh. And he put all of these in the hands of Aaron and in the hands of his sons, and waved them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then Moses took them from their hands, and burned them on the altar with the burnt offering. This was an ordination offering, a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. And Moses took the breast and waved it for a wave offering before the Lord. It was Moses' portion of the ram of ordination as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses took some of the anointing oil and the blood that was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron and his garments and also on his sons and his sons' garments. So he consecrated Aaron and his garments and his sons' garments with him. And Moses said to Aaron and his sons, boil the flesh at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and there eat it, and the bread that is in the basket of ordination offerings, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. And what remains of the flesh and the bread you shall burn up with fire. And you shall not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting for 7 days, until the days of your ordination are completed, for it will take 7 days to ordain you, as has been done today. The Lord has commanded to be done to make atonement for you. At the entrance of the tent of meeting, you shall remain day and night for 7 days, performing what the Lord has charged so that you do not die. For so I have commanded. And Aaron and his sons did all the things that the Lord commanded by Moses. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you've not only called us to yourself, but you've given us the power and the gifts to fulfill that calling. And so we thank you today that you have promised to be with your people, to sustain your people, to use us to accomplish your purposes. And we thank you that you've promised that you will attend your word and that your Holy Spirit will take your word and use it to transform your people. We pray that that would happen today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. There is a cartoon of a young man, a young boy, actually 10 or 12 years old, sitting down at a table, sending an email. It's obvious from the cartoon that he is a preacher's kid. He's sending an email to his grandmother, and he says, Dear Grandma, thank you for the tape recorder you sent for Christmas. I've already made quite a bit of money selling Dad tapes I've made around the house on Sunday mornings. I'm saving up to buy a video camera. Love, Eldon. Here is a resourceful young man blackmailing his preacher father because Sunday mornings at a pastor's house probably doesn't go any better than Sunday morning at your house. He's taping his dad and blackmailing him. How we live our lives as pastors makes a difference. But this doesn't just apply to pastors. This applies to all of God's people. How we live our lives as elders, as Sunday school teachers, as parents has a profound significance. We have described in Leviticus 8 the ordination of Aaron and his sons to the priesthood. The priests had a special role within the nation of Israel. The priests were mediators between God and Israel in that they served at the tabernacle and dealt with the sacrifices. They were representatives representing the people to God and representing God to the people. They made it possible for the Israelites to have access to God. They also guarded the holiness of God. You remember as the children of Israel moved from Mount Sinai toward the land of Canaan, it was the Levites and the priests who camped around the tabernacle, guarding the holiness of God, guarding that sacred space. You could not just stroll into the tabernacle. It was a holy place. And in that sense, it was a dangerous place. And so the priests and the Levites guarded that place. And because of their special role, they were set apart. They were holy. We see that in Leviticus chapter 8. But we also know from Scripture that the nation of Israel was also considered to be a nation of priests. The nation of Israel had a priestly role to fulfill. Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6, they are called a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Israel had a priestly role directed to the nations around her, which included mediating God's presence to the nation. That's why Israel had to be set apart. That's why Israel had to be holy. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 reminds us that as the nations observed Israel, they would see a wise nation. They would see the beauty of the law of God given to the nation of Israel. And they would recognize, as God blessed His people, they would recognize the goodness of God, that God was in their midst, and they would want to come to learn about this great God that Israel served. You see this at points throughout the Old Testament. This priestly terminology is also used to refer to the people of God in the New Testament, the church. 1 Peter chapter 2, we also are a kingdom of priests. We have been set aside to live our lives to the honor and the service of Jesus Christ. And so it's appropriate for us to reflect on how this passage not only relates to the priests, Aaron and his sons, but to reflect how this passage relates to us as the people of God, who also have been set aside to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we see in Leviticus chapter 8 what it takes to be effective servants for God. We see in Leviticus 8 the essentials of living a life to the honor and the glory of God, so that what is said about Aaron and his sons is relevant to us and to the way that we live our lives. Amidst all the details of chapter 8, three things stand out: purification, sanctification, and consecration. Consecration, the way I'm developing it, is in relationship to the ram of ordination. And sanctification comes in that middle section of the chapter, which is actually translated to consecrate. So it could be a little confusing, but purification, sanctification, they're set apart. And then consecration, they are ready and willing to do what God has commissioned them to do. So the first thing we need to be effective servants is purification. We need to be cleansed. Notice the first thing they do with Aaron and his sons as they bring them forth in verse 6. Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. They had to be washed with water. Before anything else was done, they had to be purified. They had to be washed with water. Water symbolizes cleansing. And perhaps it reminds you of the water that we see frequently as God's people, the water of baptism, which symbolizes the cleansing of our sins. In baptism, we are set apart from the world. We receive the sign and seal of the covenant. We are cleansed symbolically by the water being placed upon us. They're washed with water. And then we also see purification in the offerings that are brought on behalf of Aaron and his sons. And did you notice the order of the offerings? Verses 14 through 7 is a sin offering. And now we sort of know what that is because we've looked at the first five chapters of Leviticus. And then what is brought forward in verses 18 through 21 is a burnt offering. You may recall that the sin offering deals with specific sins that we commit against God, and the burnt offering deals with the fact that we are sinful by nature, by definition, by who we are. We are sinful even before we might even commit specific sins. Both are important. We see here we need to be cleansed from our specific sins. We also need a sacrifice to deal with the fact that we are sinners in the presence of a holy God. And just like Aaron and his sons had to have their sins dealt with, so we as God's servants need to have our sins dealt with as well. Romans 6 reminds us that because of the sacrifice of Christ, the power of sin has been broken. To be an effective servant of Jesus Christ, you have to realize that there's sin in your life, and you have to know what to do with it. The appropriate way to receive forgiveness and to have the power of sin and to have that sin removed from your life. To deny sin, to avoid sin, to evade sin is a prescription for becoming an ineffective servant of Christ because you haven't dealt with that basic problem that all of us have before a holy God. Christ is the one who brings this cleansing. He is the sacrifice that can remove the guilty conscience that we have because of our sin. He is the one who has the power to break those sinful patterns so that we're able to serve in an effective way. We sang several weeks ago, Rock of Ages, let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. To be an effective servant for God, you have to be aware of your sin and you have to know what to do with it. You have to know how to deal with it. You have to know what the solution is to remove its power and effectiveness in your life. We'll never be able to completely remove the power of sin. We still struggle with that old nature, but we have a new power at work in our lives. A renewed heart, a regenerated heart, the power of the resurrection, resurrected Christ at work in us. You have to deal with sin. That's the first thing. But also to be an effective servant of Christ, we need to be sanctified. And the word sanctification just means set apart. We see this in two ways in this passage. We see that Aaron and his sons are set apart in the garments that they wear. Did you notice in verses 7 through 9 is a description of the garments that Aaron as high priest would wear? The coat, the sash, the breastpiece, all of these things, the ephod, all of these things put on Aaron, the turban. Believe me, when you put these things on Aaron, he will stand out from everybody else. He will be dressed differently from everybody else. And then in verse 13, we have the clothing of his sons, Aaron the high priest, and then the clothing of his sons. These garments set Aaron apart from everyone else in Israel. These garments also emphasize the role of the priests to represent God. As that breastpiece has those 12 stones that represent the tribes of Israel there on the breast of Aaron as he comes into the presence of God, into the tabernacle, and once a year into the Holy of Holies. The turban that he wears has a plate that has on it, "Holy to the Lord." He represents the people of God. And he is set apart in this function by what he wears, by these garments. Uniforms have a similar function in our context. The uniform of a police officer sets him apart from everybody else. The uniform that he wears identifies him as a police officer. The car that he drives, unless it's an unmarked car, identifies him as a police officer. It sets him apart. It tells us that he is a police officer set apart for the function that he is to carry out as his role as a police officer. Within the hospital, nurses and doctors, especially nurses, are set apart by what they wear, the uniform that they wear. As followers of Jesus Christ, we don't have a particular set of clothing that we wear. But it's very interesting that the New Testament uses clothing terminology to refer to the new life that we have through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, "Put off the old man, that former way of life that we read about in Colossians chapter 3 this morning. Put off the old man, put away, take off that old way of life and put on, clothe yourselves with the new man, a new creation, a new creature in Jesus Christ, righteousness and holiness." And so when we come to Jesus Christ, we take off that old way of life and we put on, if you will, that new way of life that we receive in Jesus Christ. And that should set us apart from others around us who are not believers. And in the culture in which we live, we may stand out just by the fact that we believe in Jesus and we are trying to live our lives in a way that is pleasing to Him. You may stand out like a police officer stands out in his uniform, because your life has become a reflection of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not in a self-righteous way, but the power of Christ has transformed your life, and you will be different from those who don't know Jesus Christ. Set apart. Sanctification. It's needed to be an effective servant. The other thing that stresses sanctification in our text is verses 10 through 12. Moses takes the oil and he anoints the altar, the utensils, and Aaron. Verse 12 says he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate or sanctify him, to set him apart. The significance of this is that Aaron is empowered now to do what God has set him apart to do. The anointing with oil symbolizes the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Even in the Old Testament, you begin to see this emphasis, the empowering of the Holy Spirit connected with the anointing of oil. 1 Samuel 16:13, when Samuel anointed David, the Spirit of the Lord came on David from that time forward, the text says. God empowered David to do what God had called David to do. And the Hebrew word for anoint is the word we get the concept Messiah from, Mashiach, the anointed one. In the New Testament, it's the word Christ, Jesus the Messiah, the anointed one, filled with the Spirit of God to accomplish the purposes of God, the mission of God, to do God's will. We as God's people are set apart. We are sanctified. We receive the Holy Spirit when we believe in Jesus. That power to live our lives in a way that is pleasing to God. Having been declared righteous in our justification, we begin to live out that righteousness in our life, in our sanctification, through the power of the Holy Spirit given to us by the resurrected Savior. Our lives are set apart for God, so that now we want to do what God wants us to do as someone who follows Jesus Christ. And sometimes we apply this to pastors, to missionaries. But this applies to all of God's people. You may have an occupation that keeps you busy 40 plus hours a week, but you are set apart by God to live your life to the honor of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you need the anointing power of the Holy Spirit to live a life set apart for Jesus Christ. Because in our own strength we will fail. God gives to us the Holy Spirit to enable us to live a life that is a reflection of His grace, to live a life that is a reflection of His righteousness. And yes, we will fail at that, and that's why we confess our sins every Sunday. But we have a power sent to us from on high so that we are able, as God's people, both corporately and individually, to accomplish the things that He wants to accomplish through us in the everyday details of our lives. We need sanctification. We need to be set apart. We need the power that comes through the Holy Spirit. Purification. Sanctification. The third element in this text is what I have called consecration, and it's developed in the text around what is called the ram of ordination. It's in verse 22 and following. The word for ordination is an interesting word. It's a word that means to fill up. To fill up. And it relates to something that takes place in this chapter in verses 25 through 28. Where Moses takes the fat from the sacrifice. And he takes the right thigh. Normally that is given to the priests. And he takes some of the cakes of unleavened bread. He takes these items and he places them into the hands of Aaron and his sons. He fills up their hands. And then these things are waved as a wave offering. We're not really sure what that means, but this is where some people think that some kind of movement may have taken place in relationship to these offerings as they are placed, these items are placed in the hands of Aaron and his sons. And then they are burnt on the altar as a ordination offering, as it says in verse 28. Now, part of the meaning of the ceremony is that the priests themselves will benefit from the sacrifices that God's people bring. They will, in essence, get their living, if you will, a part of it anyway, from the sacrifices that God's people bring. They will get a portion of those sacrifices that God's people bring. And Paul picks up on this in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 13 and 14, when he says, "Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel." A principle here that Paul applies to those who preach the gospel. Those elders who are worthy of double honor, if you will, from the pastoral epistle. But something else is done with the ram. With the blood of the ram. Notice verses 23 and 24. It says, "And he killed it, and Moses took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. And he presented Aaron's sons." And Moses did the same thing for the sons of Aaron. Put the blood on the right lobe of their ear, the lobe of their right ear, the thumb of their right hand, the big toe of their right foot. You see, now Aaron is ready for the Lord's service. He's ready to give all that he has to the service of the Lord. He's ready to accept the obligation that comes with this particular office. This emphasizes full obedience, and the importance of obedience is going to come out next week in our text next week, where there is some disobedience by the priests, and there is very serious consequences that come from that. And this applies to us as well as servants of God, the necessity of being willing to offer ourselves in service to God, so that our ears are ready to listen to God, our hands are ready to do the work of the Lord, and our feet are ready to walk in God's ways. Every part of our being, every part of our life is ready to serve God. Again, this is not just something that is an Old Testament thing that relates to the priest. This is not something that just relates to pastors or missionaries. Every one of us this morning is a full-time servant of Jesus Christ. You may be a school teacher, but you are teaching ultimately for the glory of Jesus Christ. You may be a factory worker. You may receive your pay from a company. You may be a doctor, a lawyer, accountant, a salesperson, a secretary, a homemaker, a construction worker. You may own your own business. You may be a student. You may be unemployed. As you live this week, you are consecrated to God as a servant of Jesus Christ, and your ears must be ready to listen to God. Your hands must be ready to honor God. Your feet must be ready to walk in a way that's pleasing to God. This is what we need to be effective servants. This is what the world needs to see. That the people of God are committed to Jesus Christ and His way. Otherwise, we're just spinning our wheels. We will not be effective servants for Jesus Christ. Imagine you've been outside working on your car, or maybe working in the garden, and your hands become very dirty, greasy or dirty from working in the dirt. You finish your work and you're hungry, and so you come into the kitchen, and with those filthy hands, you begin to make a sandwich. Not only for yourself, but for the rest of your family. And so you grab that nice, clean bread with those greasy, grimy, full of dirt hands, and you begin to make a sandwich. And the filth and the dirt from your hands gets on the bread. And you grab for meat, and you grab for lettuce, and you cut up some tomatoes, and the juice from those things mixes in with the dirt of your hands and the grease of your hands and begins to sort of... It doesn't look very pretty, does it? And you make four or five sandwiches, and they're sitting there on the counter, and that bread, which was so fresh and looked so good, now looks so dirty, and your family comes in, and you say, "Have some sandwiches." They're not going to want to eat it. Your hands were filthy. They were not washed before you made those sandwiches. You were an ineffective servant because you were not purified. You were not sanctified, if you will. You were not consecrated, ready and willing to do what Christ wants you to do because you still had those dirty hands. And in a spiritual sense, you still had those dirty hands because you had not taken care of the sin in your life. You had not offered yourself to be washed by the blood of Christ, and you had not been set apart through the power of the Holy Spirit, and the blood had not been applied to you. An ineffective servant for your Savior. And so the encouragement this morning, brothers and sisters, is that you can be an effective servant. That Christ has made it possible for you to be an effective servant for His glory. If you will trust in the power of the blood of Christ to cleanse you, if you will seek the power of Christ through the Holy Spirit to live for Him, and if you are willing to give all that you have and place it at His service so that your ears and your hands and your feet are ready to do what God wants you to do. In whatever capacity God has called you, as a student, as a parent, as a worker, it doesn't matter. We're all servants of Jesus Christ, and Christ has made it possible that we can be effective servants. He will use us to accomplish His purposes. Are you ready and are you willing to offer your life to Jesus Christ? The hymn that we are going to sing stresses this aspect of giving all of our life and every aspect of our lives to God for His glory. Hymn number 585. Let's stand and sing.